May I speak to you in the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Good evening. I hope most of you recognize me, but just in case you don't, my name is Lauren Dockery, and I am the Director of Children and Youth Ministries here at St. Paul's. So, welcome to Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. The time that the church has set aside for us, we are called to fast, give alms, pray, and repent. Repentance is difficult to do because it's difficult for us to talk about sin. Some of us struggle from shame for any sin we may have committed, and this season just feels like a self-flagellation, exhausting and long. Others of us don't know exactly what we did wrong and maybe feel irritated that we're even being asked to apologize. For me, being raised in the church, Lent was always hard for me, partly because I'm a cheerful optimist and the gravity of Lent has always felt like a burden. But it also felt difficult because I knew the end of the story. God forgives our sins. Love wins. Life wins over death. Why spend time in repentance, reflecting, and feeling deprived? Well, this Old Testament reading from Joel gives us a clue as to what we're looking for and trying to do in this time. In this reading, something awful has happened in Israel, something that has upset God. The Old Testament scholars aren't exactly clear about what the people did to offend God so much, but if the Israelites were anything like modern humans, it's not hard for us to imagine why God would be upset. We all know ways in our current world that we failed to live in God's peaceful kingdom, and I won't even bother to list them today. We all hold those heavy in our hearts. But at the beginning of this chapter, Joel warns the people that God is angry and to expect the worst, doom and gloom and an army like one that has never been seen before. And then, just a few verses later, God, speaking through Joel's voice, says, "You know what? Never mind. Come to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning, for I am merciful." The term merciful here is derived from a Hebrew word that means womb, like a mother's womb. And of course, God is like a mother who cares for her children. Maybe she was furious with us for our bad behavior, but she also loves us more than that anger could ever hold. She loves us so much that she sees when we are acting out of pain or shame and knows that it is her job to teach us how to apologize in those moments. She says, "Rend your hearts, not your clothing." And can't you just picture it? The image of a 5-year-old who's done something wrong, maybe stolen a cookie or hit a sibling, and is overcome with regret and shame and guilt of being caught. And he's grasping his t-shirt because he's so upset. And this mother, frustrated but patient, looks at him and says, "You need to apologize," before she wraps him up in a warm hug. God, our mother, teaches us to apologize and to return to relationship, even when we are in the grips of shame, because relationship is key. Relationship with God and with one another. And Joel demonstrates that as he goes on in this reading, because the next lines are a request. Gather the community, get everyone together, infants to elderly, even the honeymooning newlyweds, everyone, get over here now, get on your knees, and pray. And surely some of them are wondering, maybe like some of us, but what did I do that I should have to be here? And the answer then must be for each other. God sees each of us as precious and worthy of love, just as much as the person sitting next to us. The golden rule that Jesus taught us, do unto others, means that we are responsible for one another, for our community, for the world. If our slates truly are clean, that should give us extra energy to repent on behalf of another. Our faiths are intertwined because we are one body. And we hear that message when we study ecology or physics or economics. And here it is again in our faith. Everyone is called to the table to utter the apology and carry the responsibility for their sibling. And what about the question, knowing the end of the story already, that God will forgive us? Well, St. John of the Cross said, in the dark night of the soul, bright flows the river of God. If you're like me and you're tempted to let your cheer and optimism protect you from the practice of Lent, let that go. The cross is always a part of the story, and the joy of resurrection doesn't exist without it. Take comfort that God has already forgiven you, but don't stay comfortable and stop yourself from walking more closely with our God. I wish all of you a holy Lent. Amen.